Springs and the River Tip. Well, they were, I think they were the hardest. There was the electricians and I think it was five, we used to be five departments. I can only think of four, but we had five shop stewards, so they were each of us for a department, different shop. Platers. You know what the platers are?
No.
Put up the sides of the ship. Plates that go on the ship.
Is that the department you worked in?
No. I'm not sure. There was a plater shop. I really can't. There's one shop I can't remember.
And are these areas where women worked, or was that it? Was that people, what was in the shipyard, those five areas?
All those shops go over the shipyard. I mean, one man to one job still. But that's gone by the board, because they've all forgotten that the union and in its origin, you've got one job, and the work, they were working towards lesser hours work, more jobs, no. Just lesser hours, and then we get another job in the year.
Mm-hmm.
Moonlight. That's what goes to do. The unions have forgotten all about that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I would have been a good suffragette in a way if I'd been educated.
Tell us more. Why?
You're like the suffragette movement, eh?
Oh, yeah.
That was the beginning of it. Women's lib.
Yeah.
That's the beginning of it.
Yeah, how did women feel about working in war industries? Did you ever?
No, I don't think you had any feelings. You were excited. Mm-hmm. It was wartime, and you were excited, and you were making money. And after the Depression, that was an experience in itself. Hello.
Hello.
Everything's
all.
Yeah. No, I think what I felt was a good feeling of helping to get us out of debt. Being in debt worried both of us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that was about the main feeling. There was money coming in, which hadn't come in for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, I know that experience is happening to people now who've been unemployed for a long time and one of them finally gets a job, or they both get a job, and it's just such a feeling of...
Oh, yeah, you know, it's worse today. It's worse today because people have lived in a better lifestyle than we did. Like, the common working class didn't even think of ever owning their own home. In those days. In the 30s, there wasn't many people who owned their own home in the 30s.
Mm-hmm. So did that...
I wasn't one of the fortunates that had a home.
Did that become a goal during the war to buy a house?
I always wanted a house, and my husband didn't. We would lose it. I couldn't even get him to take out insurance.
So you never bought a house, eh?
No. Until my mother-in-law died. Then I inherited hers.
Mm.
So you see, Lord works in mysterious ways. It's true.
Yeah. What was the job you did in the shipyard the second time around?
I was in the pipe shop. There was various departments in the pipe shop, naturally. So I was testing copper pipes. That was my I was helping to test copper pipes. I was his help, Bill's helper. There's several people known. Bill Scott, his name was.
What was he like?
Oh, a bit of a ladies' man. And a very kindly man, you know, but, well, I'll just put it bluntly, he was a good BS-er. Put it in vulgar parlance, he was a good BS-er. And he was well-liked, so you know that he wasn't a bad man.
Mm-hmm.
He was well-liked, everybody liked him. Old Bill.
How old was he?
Oh, I suppose, I couldn't tell you. 50s, I guess. Maybe he wasn't that old. I wasn't very good at ages in those days.
Mm-hmm. How did you end up working with him? Were you assigned to him, or did he cook you, or what happened?
No, you're assigned. I suppose they go, some of the men, you see, were dead against the women being in work in the shipyard, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe Bill was one of them. Because I was in, I started in, I wonder what that department was, the fire department, safety. I can't think of the girl's name, she was older than I, and I helped her, and we tested all the fire equipment and all that sort of stuff, and safety regulations. And then I was approached, you know, the boss came and they said, no, it wasn't, it was, we had a woman supervisor. You see, it's just coming back, a Miss McGraw, she was well known here. And I don't know who her, forget who her helper was, I think it was a white, I can't remember, but she had an assistant. And Miss McGraw, she was like a real sergeant major, you know. Very good for the job. And was well liked. Grace McGill, I think her name, girl. She'd say, well, Nancy, you're going to the pipe shop. So that was that. I'd go to the pipe shop with copper pipes. And that was rather interesting. Very small pipes took a very high pressure, and great big pipes took a low pressure. You know, remembered that much. And then it was plates. I wasn't what they were called. I forget what they were called. Flanges, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then my job was to tighten them. Mostly Bill had to come after me and tighten them a little better. But I did the best I could. And then you put the pipe after it was done, you put the pipe on the machine and put up the pressure. So it got to 60 pressure, was the big pipe. I forget what it was, 600 and something in there. Small pipes, steam pipes.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine the big pipes.
So that was testing?
Yeah, testing the copper pipes. And the copper pipe itself, it was wonderful seeing the copper, the
mm-hmm.
different colors in the copper. Can't think of the name of the thing you had to go and get fixed every so often.
How did they use the copper pipes in the boats? Was that for plumbing in the boats?
Machines. All I know about them is they just come into the shop, I did my job, and out they went. Besides running for dust just to clean the place.
So did you ever have that sense of like the ship as a whole, that you were working on it, or was it more like you did your little piece of work and that was that?
Oh no, I was always interested in ships. You know, my father being at sea, and all my father's people were seafaring people, and my mother's were military. So I was always interested in ships, and my grandfather made those sailing ships and put them in cabinets, you know.
Oh, neat.
But he was at sea, that was a hobby, and he made dancing dolls. Nearly all sailors have a hobby at sea. That was about a 3-month voyage, go to India, go all over the world. So the geography of the world was always interesting to me. I was always going to travel. Now we get back to, what else can I think about? Okay, that's all I can think about.
Well, I'm just wondering, this fellow who you worked with, he said that he had at first not seemed to really want to work with women. How did he express
that? He didn't. This is what we gleaned, you know. we had a canteen for the women, and you know how you talk. It was always nice. It was a nice, gentleman kind of man. That was me. We had funny old moustache. I hated moustaches. But and then would kid you, you know, if I wasn't always right, you know, I would argue with them too. They were very good. I think the men on the whole were, took us very gracefully.
Yeah, that was my next question, is how did the men deal with the women coming in? Pretty well as a group.
I think, yes, I think they were pretty good.
Were there a lot of practical jokes in the shipyard?
Oh, yeah. Well, not so much this time, but the last time. Mm-hmm. Now, we wore skirts for a while. We didn't get a uniform right away, now I think about it.
In the First World War, you wore skirts?
We wore skirts, yeah. And a joke was, what the heck was that man doing anyway? And I always had not too good eyes, you know. Couldn't see too well. If I'd seen him, I could always avoided him. But they'd put that air pipe on you and your skirts would blow up. So finally I said to one of the girls, I hate going down there. And she said, why? So I told her, so she laughed. She says, oh, we all go through that. She says, well, I'll show you another way to, no, you don't need to pass them. There's just one man in particular. Little to do, you see, they didn't work too hard.
That's something I've heard about the shipyards, is that people would sometimes hide or...
Oh, yes. You want to know about that? Mm-hmm. Well, I shouldn't tell you about that. Yes. Well, there wasn't always that you got caught up in your work. Not the First World War, because you were really busy then, or they couldn't get them out quick enough. But in this, isn't it funny you should think about that? Yeah, they used to go places. Oh yeah, the men would say, come on, show you where you can go and go up. Even one time we were in the hospital, but they had the hospital. There was four of us. And they said, stay there till we come back, you know, till we... So we did. But the big shots came along and stood right down beside the ladder of the hospital. So they said, what are we going to do? We just said, well, so we missed our lunch. We couldn't get down. And that was common. There wasn't the work. We were waiting for work, you see. I'm not sure you should put it. Oh, well.
It's okay, someone else told me first.
Yeah. They did. They, oh, yes, somebody must have told. Yes, then that was in my instance, you see. But there was others.
Mm-hmm.
All had different places, you see. You know, they'd say, well, we haven't much for you to do. I guess the idea was you get laid off.
So people were kind of protecting their jobs.
I don't think there was any malicious in it, anything malicious. Well, they were just, I don't know what they thought, but they didn't want you hanging around doing nothing. You had to be busy. Most of the time you were, but there were times when you weren't.
Do you need more water?
No, I think I know what I can do. Yeah, you ask.
Yeah. So, how did people hide? Like, did supervisors know that workers were hiding?
Oh, dear, no. We'd hide for, you'd probably just keep out the way. We didn't call it hiding. Just keep out the way. And maybe an hour. Oh, I know that time we were in the hospital, they were converting a ship. And we were on it at that time. It wasn't with the copper shop. That was with the safety thing. And we said, stay up here, you know. I guess it was out the way of the brass, which we did, and then we lost our lunch. We didn't get any lunch that day.
And then the brass was right there.
Yeah.
That must have been quite funny.
But it's very interesting. You know, it was an interesting time.
What kind of mixture of people worked in the shipyards? Was it going to be everywhere?
They were mostly North Vancouver people, but all over. I think in them, oh, there had to be, because the ferries were just black, you know.
Mm-hmm.
With the men going over, there's a ferry, they come over on the ferries.
Did the women come over on the same ferries?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was serious business, you know.
Mm-hmm. Were the ferries crowded? Were there any problems?
Packed. Oh, no. There's no
problem. Yeah.
Everybody wanted to get home, but everybody needed to get to work. They were conscientious that way. Once they got there, I don't know what they did. Whether they worked or just shirked, I don't know. I know I worked, except when I was hiding.
Did you have contact with other women who worked in the shipyard? Were you friends?
No, after. No, mostly everybody went to the home. The ones that lived, I think, in North Van, maybe. I thought maybe after that calendar, might all be dead. I mean, you know, there's a lot of them. Well, they weren't as old as I was.
Yeah, no, I bet some of them are still around.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe disappeared, you know, gone elsewhere. I've tried to find if there's anybody in the home, but there isn't.
Did you used to spend time together on your coffee breaks and lunch hours? Did women spend time together, or did women and men spend time together? Or?
Well, it was in the canteen, and if it was the summer, you sat someplace where you were in the sun. I was in the shop all day. So the ones that worked inside, Jimmy wanted to get into the sunshine. We talked, you know. I couldn't tell you what we talked about.
Mm-hmm. What about women with children? Was that an issue that came up? Concerned with kids, or, you know, leaving your children as babysitters? Or were there other women with children?
Well, they were all had children. The majority had children. We never spoke about it, my dear.
Were most women married who worked in shipyards?
Not necessarily, no.
What about when the layoffs were going to happen? Were you still in
No,
there?
I left because I went up to Queen Charlotte's.
Mm.
My husband was going up there after this truce.
Did you work up in the Queen Charlotte's?
Mm-mm. No. So I left before, so my sister was there till the end of the war.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them, you know, stayed till the end. And they got quite a good unemployment insurance. There was good, there was a good sick, no, it wasn't that. I'm way ahead of myself. Kathy. Could you get another drink?
Sure.
I mean, it's full. $65. I would take job that I never. I did tell you about it. We're taking over the fruit stand in Abbotsford.
No,
you're
not talking about
Mrs. Buker, did you ever work in a place like this? And I said, no. I used to walk up the hill where I lived. And they had this fruit stand, you know, vegetables and fruit. He and his wife run it. And they had three children. They all came down with the flu at once.
Oh, no.
And his partner was there. And he says, do you think you could manage it? I said, I don't know. I'll try. They couldn't get anybody to take over. But at that time, it was for a week. There's a lot of people were Right. Either gave them too much, or they didn't get enough, but they never knew it, and I didn't know it either. But yeah, I couldn't read the scale too well. And people would come out, you know, they'd come by in their cars. It was just about 5 minutes from where I lived. That was why he wanted me to be there. He wanted sacks of potatoes that they would order me. Well, a sack of potatoes was just a little much for me, so I'd phone my husband and I'd say, can you come up the garden and do the potatoes? And he'd come up.
Because you'd have to carry them?
No, no, they just rolled them out from the, where they kept them.
Right. Oh, that's funny.
And I took over a hotel, a little hotel in Victoria, that she couldn't get anybody to relieve the night shift, you know. She wanted to go on her holidays. There's a few, somebody on 24 hours a day, that's the machine out there, you better. And I did it. Can we close the window for a bit?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's just do that view.
Yeah. It's kind of like it's rattling away. So what was that thing that you were, was that recently?
Oh no, that was 19, I left Victoria in 61.
Right.
My mother-in-law asked us if we'd come, me, because my husband was away at the time, if I'd come and stay with her to shoot. Passed on because her other son and his wife walked out on it. And of course my dear old mother-in-law and I were always at loggerheads. So I sent a letter up to my husband and I said, what do you want me to do? He said, please yourself, you better write and tell her you haven't changed one bit. And I did. She says, oh, please come, Nancy.
Aww.
And we, it was wonderful. She got really sick the last 3 weeks of her life, and I looked after her, cleaned her and seen her, and she'd say, who ever would have thought it would be you, Nancy? I didn't know. I never would have thought it.
So you two got along?
Oh, yeah.
That's
interesting,
you know.
And she was 92.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Straight as a die till just about 3 weeks before she died. And then she was in bed because they were waiting for the bed in the hospital. And she didn't last too long.
No. So 92.
Yeah.
Getting up there.
Yeah. She still was interested enough in herself to get a perm.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Had lovely hair, black. Just a little grey in the front.
At that age?
Vivid blue eyes. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That was wonderful. That's great. That's funny that she said that to you.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll tell you, you haven't got a machine on. Well, other questions?
So, you went up to Rupert after the war?
No, I went to the Queen Charlotte.
And how long did you live up there?
Well, it was spasmodic. You know, camps would close down, or I'd come down and leave my husband up there, you know, for a while. Because I needed to get home. And then the camp shut permanently in 1950.
What was it like living in the camp? Were there other women there?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Mm.
Would you have a house up there?
Yeah, they gave you. We had 2-bedroom places. Nothing elaborate. You know, wooden, brand new, but the wooden shacks. Wooden shacks, we called them. That's what you said.
Was there heat and light?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
And was there a strong sense of community amongst them?
Yeah, there were little communities. Some camps were larger than others. Ours was many women, maybe 10 women. But there would be lots more men, you know, than that.
Mm. Nancy, what union were you in? Was it the boilermakers or in the shipyard?
It was the steam fitters and plumbers union. Isn't it funny? I just cleaned up last year in here, you know, tearing up. And I looked at my receipt for my union and I thought, oh, nobody's in this, so I'll tear it up. So I just tore it up. And accidentally.
I'm going to burst into tears.
Why?
Because because you and so many other women have done that.
And you know, after keeping it for years.
I know, it's typical.
As you know how that calendar came out. Oh, you didn't see the calendar?
Yeah, I worked on it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh. Did you see the calendar, Kathy?
Mm-hmm.
That was a surprise to me.
Right. She has to look at it work every day.
And you see, that was accidental, how Karen got the hold of the picture. And why I carried it all these years, I don't know. It was a good, it was happy memories, you know. I think that's really why it is you hang on to these things.
Right. So when you look back on that period of your life, did it have a big impact on your life to come, working in the shipyard?
Oh, you just took it, you took it in your stride. I mean, that's the best way I can describe it.
Mm-hmm.
Just took these things in your stride.
I think that's sort of it for my question.
Yeah.
Unless there's anything else that you remember or want to say.
I beg your pardon?
Unless you've got anything else you want to say or...
No.
About that.
I can't. You see, I think there must be... You know, Carol wanted to see you, but she's... No, I don't think she's here today. You know who Carol is?
Was she the woman we saw last time? Was that...
No, she's a assistant activity.
Oh.
Her husband, I think, is up in the union.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Carol Saunders, I think.
Oh, I didn't know that. She wanted to talk to us about what we're doing.
Well, she just was interested, you know.
Great.
And
yeah.
I told her that she couldn't come back. Yeah.
That it was rough.
Mm-hmm. Well, they know. Men, you know,
chauvinistic, of course.
They could not see how women could help. And I've read books, you know, about women in war work.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing because there was lots of jobs, you know, that needed education.
Mm-hmm.
And they got into that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in the, like, Boeing's or something like that.
Yeah. So what would the, do you know what the men did? Would they be rude to women or would they ignore them or?
No, as far as I'm concerned, they just took it from there.
Yeah. So they had it in their heads that it would be bad, but it, in actuality
it wasn't.
It wasn't. I mean, yeah. Coverage of women entering the war industry?
Oh, yeah. This would, in fact, I don't know how many papers about her sending it away, you know. Of course you did. It was a nice write-up.
Right.
You know.
So there was a lot of public interest in women going in?
Oh, yeah.
Did that help you feel comfortable working in the industry? Or did
No. You know, I'm not going to say that. You don't think about it in those terms.
Right.
You're getting at it from a very young... How old are you? Never mind, it's none of my business.
No, I'm 32.
Are you? Well, you don't look it. And I know my... Not the oldest girl, she's not interested much, but the young one. And she's got... I don't know whether you do about your writing, but do you make notes and then you put them away and then they'll all have to be looked at. And then you make your book.
Right.
She is there.
Right. Yeah. That's interesting.